Hello, everybody. Good to be with you again. My name is Fred Davis. I am the editor of the non-dual website, Awakening Clarity, and the author of a couple of non-dual books, The Book of Undoing and Beyond Recovery, Non-Duality and the 12 Steps. So what I want to talk to you today about is a topic that has been driven home to me quite clearly lately. And I've started talking to the people I talk to on Skype, my clients. I've started talking to them about it. You know, we spent all these years, regardless of where you are at this moment, you know, where you think you are, which is I'm not awake yet, or I'm freshly awake, or I've been awake for years. You know, however you choose to describe, you know, your spiritual condition, I just want to bring up a little different topic for us. And I want to talk about, instead of non-dual spirituality, I want to talk to you about non-judgmental spirituality. And when I say non-judgmental spirituality, I mean exactly that. See, the natural human condition is that we move and then we rest. We move and then we rest. And that's just, I mean, we do that. We run and then we rest, or we play ball and then we have a, you know, then there's a halftime or whatever. I mean, there's always... there's the same thing in music. There's, you know, there are whatever they call them, chords and stuff. There is music, and then there's silence again that it drops back into. But there's a period of rest. It can be a rest between drum beats, or it can be a long rest. But there's a pause. And so we bring that same conditioning to spirituality, and the idea is, I want to get to the pausing place. And I understand this. I've done it too. I'm always guilty. Anytime that you hear me talk about a position that we can find ourselves in, you can may rest assured that I have been in that exact position myself, and that what I'm trying to do is save you some time. Because you can find out all this stuff on yourself. If you live long enough, you'll find out all this stuff on your own anyway, if you continue in your studies and your practices or whatever it is you do. But what I'm hoping to do is introduce perhaps some more skillful ideas and give you some tools to save you really some time on the spiritual path, so that we get to, I know that we don't like to talk about levels, but nobody likes to talk about much of what I'm doing. So I don't mind talking about levels. And there certainly are apparent levels. There's no absolute level. There's no difference. There's no difference between me and you or my dog. There's no separation, none of that. Nonetheless, what we find out is that there certainly are levels within awakening. You know, we can just have that little glimpse, that peak, and that's the truth. And that's all we actually ever need is that glimpse. But for those of us who are drawn that way, then we will continue to probe and inquire and shine out the light of awareness into the dark corners. And we'll continue on the path. Because we don't want to just have a little glimpse and abandon it. I mean, it's all we need in order to penetrate reality and to have our thinking changed or our experience change. But, you know, but it's not, that doesn't mean it's the end. It's not the end for most of us. And it's not going to be the end for most of us who try to do something about it. And I know that there's all about the, you know, there's nothing to do and no one to do it and all of that. But that's not my experience. And so it's not my teaching. My experience is that that's true from the absolute view, but it is not true from the relative view, and those views do not transfer from plane to plane. So what we do here is we use the unit to move beyond the unit. And so when what I notice in my teaching is that most, I go by the law of large numbers, which means that most of the people who wake up most of the time, and most of the people who clear up after awakening most of the time, are actually involved in trying to bring that about. In other words, we're doing study or practice, or we're paying attention. We're doing something, or maybe a lot of things. For me, it was a lot of a lot of time and a lot of work. I mean, I know we don't like to hear that part, but that's the truth. It was my experience, and it's my observation of many of the people that I work with, damn near everybody I work with, as a matter of fact, because, you know, the people who call me are usually people who've been on the path for some time. I don't get anything but the hard cases, and they kept going, and that's the reason they got in touch with me. You know, it took a little humility on their part. I'm not a famous guy. You know, you can't drop my name at a cocktail party and expect to get people's attention. But nonetheless, there's a teaching coming out of this thing that is helping an awful lot of people wake up, and there are people who are doing something about their conditions. So what I mean is that about this unconditional spirituality non-judgmental spirituality is that, so whenever we have been a seeker for a long time and then we have that glimpse, there's a tendency, oh, because it's great. I mean, let's face it, it's just wonderful. And we know we've had the glimpse. We don't need to call anybody and confirm that. We just know. I mean, you may wonder about something that isn't true, but when you're faced with the truth itself, you don't wonder. And you know. And so our tendency can be to then, oh, finally, I've got it. I woke up. You know, I got it, and that's over. And I had this experience back in 1992, the first glimpse I had, and bam, I penetrated. I knew that I had penetrated the whole thing, that I had the whole thing. I knew it would never leave me, and it lasted for about 8 seconds. And my ego came right behind it and gobbled it up, and then I became the wise guy, the enlightened guy. And I wasn't even awake anymore. I mean, it was just, I was awake for, what I'm saying is that conscious awakeness was functioning through this unit for seconds. And then the unit just commandeered all of that, made itself special. And it was another 12 years before I had, I mean, I put so much lacquer, personal lacquer on top of that thing, that it took 12 years before I had another awakening. But when I did, I had a very large and clear one. And so after that first little thing, I wanted to rest. After the second awakening, I wanted to rest there too. Because like, oh, fine, now I see. This is, I just had a taste in 1992, but here's 2006, so I guess 14 years. So here it is, 2006, and man, now I'm really getting it. I've got it. I'm penetrated. I'm through. I don't even know if Buddha got this far, because it always feels like nobody ever got this far. It's just the nature of it. You know, you always feel like you got it all, and you always feel like it's never going to leave you. I have people in DPS all the time. Yeah, I understand that, Fred, but it's never going to leave me. No way I could unsee this. But a whole lot of them do. And because I get an email in a week or two, it's like, what was it that we did? And you wake them back up. So it always gets easier. The first time's the tough time. So there's that. There was that tendency for me to want to rest with that and rest in, you know, and just bask in the glory of having finally achieved this awakening, which I once again personalized my awakening for my purposes. And that's just hooey. It's not my awakening. It's not for my purposes. It is awakening's awakening. It is consciousness's awakening. You know, I was waiting for this unit, for this little person, for Fred, to wake up to the truth of God. That's exactly what I thought was going to happen. You know, or the truth of life, or the truth of the universe, or whatever you want to do. And the fact is that Spirit woke up to the fiction of Fred. Fred still is asleep as he ever is, but he would not agree with that, because he's been around when, you know, a lot. And so he has some real ideas about enlightenment, spirituality, and all that. And all of them are false. If they're coming through Fred, every single one of them is false. What this is coming through at the present moment is, it's still coming through Fred, but it's not coming out as Fred. So it's still got Fred filters. This is still my skew on things. This is still my my view on things. So it's nothing I can say is going to be absolutely true. And it's not going to be absolutely unfiltered, because there's still a human being here. And the levels thing that I talked about earlier is what we watch is there's that first glimpse, and then there was that big glimpse for me. And then a year later, or a little over a year later, I had another big breakthrough. And I wanted to rest there because now, oh, now I see. I see. This is what it is. Yeah, now I knew what I wanted. Now I know what I am. So the tendency to want to rest there. But what we see is the with these filters is that the longer that we stay awake, in other words, the longer that conscious awakeness is functioning through this body, through this personality, the more the personality it's functioning through begins to diminish, the more it diminishes. And so when there is that first awakening, whether it's the glimpse or it's a larger one, doesn't make any difference. Let's remember that the only people that can wake up are crazy people, because the people that wake up are the people who were not awake. Which means if you're not awake, you're operating from a false center. That's just the way of it. It's nothing, you know, nothing accusatory in that. I only did it for 25 years while I was on the spiritual path. I did it for years before that. But even on the spiritual path, I had no idea what was going on in truth. Even after my glimpse, I couldn't unsee it, but I didn't quite know what was going on. And I was a drunk, which wasn't very helpful. So our natural position is to break through and rest, break through and rest, move and rest, move and rest. And we bring that to our spirituality. And spirituality may be, let's just for the moment, let's try to separate it, you know, like we got a spirituality over here and everything else over there. And of course, that's false division. But just for the sake of teaching, let's say that spirituality is the one place, is the one thing where that strategy of move and rest will not work. There's no resting. There's no resting ever. You know, what happens is we move forward and then we think, oh, thank God, now I'm going to rest. And what we just start doing is moving backwards. So we are either consciously moving back forwards or we're unconsciously moving backwards, but we're never standing still. I hear Adyashanti talk about the fact that that the Son of Man has no place to rest his head. That, you know, the birds have their nest and the foxes have their holes, but there's no place for the Son of Man to rest his head. And that's what he's talking about. That's what Jesus was talking about, is that there's just this movement. I don't get to latch on to this or anything else. I don't get to latch on to anything, because that the very act of latching is a sign that there's not perfectly pure conscious awakeness working through there, or even perhaps even reasonably clear. But still, that's our tendency. And when we do this, especially if we're involved in a very intellectual type of spirituality, which the non-dual philosophy is very intellectual. Non-dual spirituality is not intellectual at all. And I don't do a whole lot of it, but I do some in order to use the mind to move beyond the mind. But the fact is that non-dual spirituality is not intellectual or anti-intellectual. It's not any of those things. You can't peg it. And you can't, since you can't peg it, you can't peg its opposite either. And here comes the key. So what happens is we come in this thing, and whether even whether we're awake or not, we can smell the truth. Once we start coming around non-duality, we know that all that stuff, other stuff that we read, if we're subscribers to non-duality, look, I got to be careful. I'm going to be judgmental myself here. But if we subscribe to non-duality, then our sense of things is going to be, this is the path. That's what it feels like, is that this is the path. This is the right way. I am the way, the truth, and the light. And non-duality is the way, the truth, and the light. And that everything else, therefore, is less than, you see. And the Christians are simply not skillful, and the Muslims are simply not skillful, and the Buddhists don't quite have it. And the Zen people have a good notion, but they're not quite where we are. And there's this, and there's that, and there's this, and there's that. And we're certainly we're not like that. We're not doing that, because all of those things are are not skillful. They're wrong. Ultimately, that's what we're saying, is that those things are wrong. I'm right and they're wrong. And what I want to tell you is that it has been my key experience, my ongoing experience. I notice it every day. that we can be free or we can be right, but we can't be both. We just can't be both. See, that rightness is, that's asserted my position. Well, whose position is that? This one's ego's position. See, ego decides it's right. It's now got the right, and everything else is wrong. Well, that's not non-dual, is it? Non-dual is always inclusive, never exclusive. I'm not trying to say that everybody is right. They're not. I'm just trying to tell you that I can't be absolutely sure who it is that's wrong. I mean, you know, God forbid it should be me, but it could be me. So what I want to do is, doubt is our friend in non-duality as we move forward from the times before we're awake to shortly after awakening to, you know, early awakening to even quite mature awakening. There's doubt remains our friend because it's always that pull to, okay, I finally got it. We didn't used to be awake. I used to be a seeker, and I see all of the holes in that thing now. Thank God I'm awake. But who is it that's saying I'm awake? You know, almost always it's going to be. Doesn't have to be, but almost all the time that we say that, we're going to be talking about this. And if you ever hear me saying that this is awake, please just cut the TV off or the computer or whatever it is, or leave the meeting, because this is not awake. It's never going to be awake. I am awake. I am awakeness. That's what I am. I'm all of this, but I don't even know what this is. You know, I know I am, but I don't know what I am. I know that I am, but I don't know what I am. Do you see? So this is speaking from the heart of the truth. So and what we begin to do is we begin to criticize others, even within non-duality itself, which is where I get most of my heated letters. Christians don't bother to write me. They just write me off. And I think I've seen it on Amazon with reviews and stuff like that. Buddhists tend to do that way with me too. And because we're all fixed in our way, that I've got the right way, this guy's got the wrong way. How do we know? I know. I just know. I mean, I got an opinion on this thing, and my opinion is right. So I can be free or I can be right. And I prefer to be right sometimes, you know. That's just the way it works. We just prefer to be right sometimes. We don't even know that we're not being free. We don't know, you know, every email that I've ever gotten criticizing my work has been totally unconscious. And once in a while I get an apology back, you know, from somebody who's deeply unconscious, usually somebody who was in their cups. And they'll write me back and they'll say, I'm sorry I did that. And that's all fine. That's when they do that. I'm happy for them. But even within non-duality, we think our side is right. Do you know that they have been teaching that, you know, awakening is fat? They've been arguing about the fact that awakening is, look at this now, awakening is fast or slow. Awakening is fast or slow. They've only been arguing about it. I remember reading about this 25 years ago, that the old Zen guys used to do that in China. And this is thousands of years ago. And guess what they do today on the internet and in books and in talks and stuff? They have an argument with themselves about whether awakening is fast or slow, fast or slow, fast or slow. Anytime we are dealing with the dream, you can find the opposites, okay? Anytime we're dealing with the dream, you will be able to find the opposite. The only thing you can't find an opposite to is the sense of being itself. You cannot imagine it. You can try it yourself, but if you can't locate it, just take my word for it. do some investigation. Don't take my word for it and rest. Say, well, this is what Fred says, but I'm not going to adopt his belief and lacquer it on top of mine. I'm instead going to dig through my lacquer and find my own truth. And then I'll see if it matches up with Fred's. If it does, happy. If not, Fred's wrong. Because we always want to maintain our own spiritual authority, because otherwise we're just right back in the belief thing, and that's just hasn't been that helpful to us, or we wouldn't be here. The fact is that it hasn't worked for us. Okay, that's all that matters. So when we see in non-duality that, because what is the truth in my experience? Is awakening fast or is it slow? Is it fast or slow? It's both. It's both. It's the whole thing. See, this is the what this always represents two sides of a view. But what we are is the whole thing. We're non-dual. This is non-dual. This is the whole thing. It's not half the circle, it's the whole circle. So in my experience, we have the awakening event. We may have several. Not uncommon to have several. But they even having that several, do you notice what that is? That's a slow process of awakening. There is the awakening event. There may be several events, but those events, but the fact that there's more than one, that falls into process. So there is both event and process. And no, I can certainly see from the absolute perspective that there's no one here, no one to do it. There's nothing undivided. And that even talking about this is perfectly ridiculous. But I notice that we do it anyway. And I notice that that sometimes I get criticized for this. And I know that sometimes people who speak just the opposite of me, the radical neo-Advaitists or whatever it is, I don't even know what they are. I don't even know what the categories mean anymore. Somebody wrote me the other day, asked me if I was a neo-Advaita teacher. And I wrote back and said, I guess so. I mean, and what I mean by that is I'm not going through all the Advaita, but I'm not going through that path, but I've heavily leaned on that path. I've heavily learned from that path, but I don't even know what the categories are anymore. There's everything's so skewed. What I will tell you is that I know that we need everybody on this planet to be doing exactly what they're doing right now. I know that we do because they're here and they're doing it. And that's the final judge. The final judge is what is because there's no point in my arguing with what is. I can if I want to, but I will suffer if I do. And I will suffer until I notice that I am fighting what already is. So you can't change what already is. You might be able to have some influence on what's coming, but you can't change what is. So, and that we only will have any influence on what's coming if we're pretty awake. So, but there can be a sense of it otherwise. Let us not rest. Let us not rest in the idea that I am right. Let us not practice judgmental or spirituality. Let us not be right. Let us not declare ourselves right. Let us not declare anyone else wrong. Why? What is wrong with us not knowing? What's wrong with us just not knowing? Well, this works for me. What do I really need any more than that? I do not. This, what I'm doing over here is just, this is just, or what I'm experiencing, however you want to put it, but my life, this works for me. It works for me great. My life is tremendously improved. And I know that they say that there's nothing in it for the ego. That may be true, but that doesn't mean there's nothing in it for the unit. There's a lot of benefits in awakening for the unit. And my life is tremendously better. My wife's life is tremendously better as a result of these teachings. So they work for us, and leave it there. Just notice that they work for us. But don't take any position, because I talk about in my books the box, the beliefs, opinions, and positions. And when I decide I'm right and you're wrong, I've taken a position. Even if I decide you're right and I'm wrong, I've still taken a position. And a position is a belief that has got to be seen through if I'm going to live clear. Doesn't mean I can't break through and have a little clarity, but if I'm going to live clear, if I'm going to live in abiding awakeness, if I'm going to embody awakeness and bring it into the dream, if I'm going to bring the wisdom of what is outside of the dream into the dream, I need to check my beliefs very carefully. And if I've really got some I'm stuck in, those are the very ones that I need to address the most, because we get what we want, folks. And if you really, really want to know the truth, I'm going to tell you, it cannot be held from you. It will not be held from you. So this, we can feel like we want the truth, and we can say that we want the truth, and we can study our asses off like we're really going to get the truth. But I'm going to tell you that most of us really don't want the truth. Don't want too much of it. We want enough so that we can dream better. Because that's what we think it's actually all about, is dreaming better. And I'm all about, I mean, I'm very happy to dream better. A good story is better than a bad one. But let's not get caught up in the idea that the story is what counts, because it's not. Not ultimately. You know, the story can be an enjoyable place for us to navigate, you know, until we don't. Because we certainly experience our lives, and there's no point in denying them. There's no point in transcending them. I had a doctor talk with a doctor in Dallas this week, who's simply the single most awake person I've ever talked to that was not a teacher. And he's more awake than a lot of teachers, in my opinion. And we talked about this very thing, that there's no point in transcending. You know, he loves his wife. He loves his children. Why would you want to transcend that? Why would you want to go beyond that? Why would you want to, you know, I mean, just we can honor that. We can embrace that exactly as it is without giving up the transcendent experience. I mean, that's the thing, is that because what are we trying to transcend? There's only this. So there's nothing actually to transcend, but they can feel like it is. So non-judgmental spirituality, this is what's really, really key, because this is where we get hung up. And this is where a lot of people go back to sleep. I see it all the time. I get it emails particularly. Even the ones that are not hateful. I mean, because I get a lot more good mail than I get bad. And a lot of that, but some of that good mail is clearly where someone has decided to that this view is the right view, that non-duality is the only true teaching, and that this brand, the brand I teach, is the only true brand of non-dual teaching. That's just not the side. This is what works for us. It's just like teachers. We have a tendency, teachers even will do this. Oh, he's unconscious, not awake. But the fact is that I don't know that. As far as I know, everybody is who they say they are until they say they're not, or until it's discovered otherwise. So what I'm saying is that these other teachers who are teaching things that don't go in line exactly with what I'm doing, we need them because we got them. And that they are simply someone else's teachers. The people that come to me are my clients and my students. And this is what I do here is working for them. And that's great. I invite you all to take a look at what I'm doing, but only the ones of you who should will embrace it. And for all of you, whether you embrace my teaching or someone who teaches something completely different, or you're still lingering in one of the great traditions, welcome to do that too. The only thing I suggest that you do is that you put serious doubt on any belief you have, particularly that precious private spiritual belief. We can be right or we can be free, but we can't be both. Thank you very much. That'll do it for today. See you later. Bye-bye.